right, 807 FM Talk 1065 and Mobile Mornings. Welcome aboard. Hour number three, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Got Thanksgiving coming up this week, and then, of course, the Christmas holiday fiesta. You got people coming into your home. Is it time to say, you know, I know you made that pledge back on the New Year's Day or New Year's Eve of last year, but it's time to probably take advantage of that. Get your home straight and get ready for the family, friends coming in. Do that with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Get the junk gone. And just a side note, I can tell you all about how efficient they are, how they give you an actual appointment time, how the price they quote you is the price you pay, whether the job turns out to be bigger than they thought it was or not. But the key to it, I think, is setting a specific time gets you and the family moving forward to getting the junk gone. You get that appointment set with 1-800-GOT-JUNK, then you have a deadline. And that deadline will move you probably faster than anything to get the projects done and get the, you know, get the junk tagged and grouped up and get it gone. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online, or pick up the phone and give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey Bennett doing work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. All right, a couple things I want to bounce around here. Number one, I'll talk about the protest down in Tijuana. As folks in Tijuana are protesting the caravan coming through, they want civility and order restored there. So, anybody detect irony there in this? Is that that's going on? We could talk about that. Also, continuing to look at the toll that's being taken by this fire in California. Right now, 77 people have been killed in the what they're calling the Camp Fire in Northern California, three in the Woolsey Fire in Southern California. And you mentioned, rightfully so, that there may be clerical issues leading to this. But right now, they are saying 993 people still unaccounted for.
And that number dropped from over 1,000.
Yes.
And that's part of the reason why, as they said, that some people may not even know that they're missing. Because they're safely somewhere.
They're showing them lists to these people and saying, hey, are you on this list? Right. Or is there somebody on this list that you know is fine?
That's right. And then on the more somber side of this, the fact that they are asking families to submit their DNA so that they can, you know, do a match in case they are able to find someone. It's a very sad story. California Fire, the state's forestry and fire protection agency, says that this fire most likely won't even be fully contained until the end of this month, November 30th. Very sad story. Here's something, though, that will make you smile, though. There's a 93-year-old woman. She didn't have phone. She didn't have internet or any way of getting out, but a garbage man sped down her street, picked her up.
Nice.
And there's a picture of her sweet self sitting right there in the inside the garbage truck. On the driver's side, though.
There you go. Right.
Yeah, let me just clarify that.
Because I'd ride anywhere in that truck to get me out of it. And then the rain part that's coming, the rain is forecast for California for the next couple of days. You would think, well, that's great news, right? It helps abate the fire, if not completely contain it. I think 63% containment on the campfire. But they say the issue is going to... It's tough to say, but they're worried about it because it will wash ashes away, and they would use those ashes to do IDs on people. So
and then the situation of mudslides.
Yeah.
So now you're presenting a new devastation for people to deal with, because that ground is just until you've been there, and you see how the homes are situated on the side of cliffs, and I mean that's what makes it so beautiful, right? But this is one of those situations. I worked in San Diego for 3 years, and they always say it's wildfire season every day, every day, and you understand what you're signing up for, but you never would wish this on anyone.
Yeah, it's a tough situation, as we talk about here on the Gulf Coast, how to deal with being in hurricane zone and houses that are on barrier islands, houses that are on the coast, storm surge and wind, and those issues, and slowly. People are working towards, you know, fortifying houses, making better investments there, doing these things. A similar thing has to be asked of California. Mm-hmm. It's not worth discussing right now when there's such turmoil and tragedy going on there. But, you know, you get so many people are there in California. Why? Because it's a beautiful state. All those that want California to drop off into the sea, I understand the politics of it, but if it drops, can it just tilt and the people go out and the state still be there? Because geographically, the place is gorgeous. If you don't think that state's beautiful, you're missing out. But so many people move there, and you get in a situation where you have so many people trying to live places where it's probably not the smartest place to live because of wildfires. Mm-hmm. And what are they doing to, because you know, that's part of the natural cycle. It is in the southeast, it is out west. You know, they're starting to get a little better out west doing prescribed burns in places like Colorado and Wyoming and Montana, letting some fires burn as, you know, as they, as they're smaller before they get out of control. Problem is, California, you've got all these homes, you've got these areas that are suburban.
And they're right on top of each other, too.
And you can't run a fire through there for a, you know, for a corrective measure.
Right.
Where you could, if you're in the rural areas, you can run a fire when the conditions aren't like this. You don't have the heavy winds. You know, you run that fire when it's cooler, mm-hmm. more damp, with less wind, and then you get rid of what we call the fuel in there, but you don't have the out-of-control inferno.
Right.
But how do you do that when you have farmlets and houses and suburb, all through that. I don't know how you do that.
It's a tinderbox right there. And you look at, I mean, you could have a, your backyard could be, let's see, 20 feet by 20 feet, and that's a $1 million home right there. And I mean, these homes are just right on top of each other. When you look at these numbers, this Sunday it says about 400 people fanned out to search the ash and search the rubble, you know, in hopes of finding someone. At this point, the number 77 people, and unfortunately, is expected to go up. This campfire, which we are talking about, it has destroyed thus far more than 10,500 homes.
Unbelievable. Let's go to the phones, and let's go to Wayne in Saraland. First up, hey, Wayne.
Good morning, guys, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you. I really had a question, and you really led right into it because in discussing the forestry management aspect of it, you know, there are some large, I mean, very, very large forestry areas out there that basically forest management people are saying, if we were able to do any kind of wildfire management, that it would certainly help in alleviating these things, but they're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, it's
Because every time they try to do something, one of the environmentalist groups, listen, and there's nobody more pro-environment than me, but, you know, there's possibility here that, you know, hundreds and hundreds of lives that have already been lost and more obviously to come. What, you know, there's got to be a compromise in there somewhere that will allow the U.S. Forestry or the California Forestry Association, somebody, to get in there and do some work, like you pointed out, that they've just started doing in the last few years out in Colorado.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the, so it is actually, and it depends on who you're talking to, but how they identify, it is a very pro-environmentally sound practice to let fires burn. It is part of the natural cycle out west, without turning, you know, the show into, you know, a nature show like I'd like to, but it is a thing that it should happen. It's part of the natural cycle. There have been those that protested letting fires burn are those environmentalists, and I don't think that's all environmentalists, are ignorant to the natural cycles. So you got that battle like you laid out, Wayne, but then you got the other one, the one that's not discussed, as I always try to make sure we're looking at all sides and being fair about this. There's the battle for what happens on national forest lands and federal lands there, but what do you do when you got the farmlets in the suburb, you know what I'm saying? You have this dry stuff, and you've got a house every half mile or something. You know, you can't. It's tough to do a prescribed burn in the middle of a sprawling suburban area.
That there is no doubt about that. But what I'm thinking is some of these larger areas that where they can do control burns and not affect these houses and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure if you look at a map, that there are some large swaths that are burnt now that had they been controlled over the last 10, 15, 40 years, you know, that the damage would not be as severe as it is today. And that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. I understand you can't do a control burn right up, you know, against the subdivision.
Yeah, so
but,
you got two, you kind of got two
some
things
large
to
forestry areas that I believe, if they had been allowed, and I think that's what the forestry experts, and I use that term loosely, of course, but, you know, that's what they're prescribing, is had we been able to do management as, you know, the years have gone by, that this would be much less severe.
Yeah, and I think you're spot on, and I think people have got to get this idea that real nature is not static. It's not a museum piece. And an area that could have, and I appreciate the call, I got to run the break, but areas that could you know, have big old growth forest in a natural cycle, eventually will have a fire go through there, which, if it's done regularly enough, doesn't kill all the trees, kills some, doesn't kill others. But then there's that rub. What do you do when you're trying to get through the neighborhoods and get that? It's a tough situation out there. We'll come back, take more calls at 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this countdown to Thanksgiving Monday. 343-0106, 343-0106. That's the phone number. Got a couple stories that I want to run through here. Number one, you've got things, the dust has settled in Florida, and the result is exactly like the result was the day after Election Day in those contested races. It took two recounts, but Florida's Senate race officially over. Rick Scott is the winner. Nearly 2 weeks after Election Day, Republican Governor Rick Scott has won Florida's Senate race. Ben Nelson, who is the sitting senator, conceded yesterday afternoon. He's recorded a YouTube video where he talks about all the he's going to continue the fight. So there you go. Also, the question on governor, it is DeSantis as governor. Democrat Andrew Gillum conceded to Ron DeSantis, and that happened over the weekend as well, or happened late last week. All right, so the recounts are done. Also in the news, so looks like there'll be an opening. If you're looking for a gig down in Broward County, as she's going to be stepping down as an Alabamian, right?
Right.
An Alabamian. We found out earlier. I don't know if we right now want to keep going on that, but Snipes, who was the the head of the election. What do you call that? The bureau, the election. What is that? What do you call it? Supervisor of elections.
That's right.
Supervisor of elections, Brenda Snipes.
Brenda Snipes, yes. She was the Broward County Supervisor of Elections.
There's the title I was looking
for. And she was born and raised in Talladega, Alabama.
So she is now without a gig as of January. Story from PolitiFact says Florida headed towards multiple recounts. U.S. Senator Marco Rubio went on Twitter. Twitter tear directed towards Broward Supervisor of Elections, Brenda Snipes. Rubio took aim at the supervisor in on Florida's Blue Bastions as the county was still tabulating ballots.
Mm-hmm. That follows Jeb Bush calling for her to resign and President Trump calling for her to resign.
And then you look at the history here of the people that have held that job in Broward County.
Mm-hmm.
It's like not really good. It's like they went through kind of, not just the 2000, and mm-hmm. It's like that Broward County has not been...
problematic. Well,
problematic.
She was reelected four times, to that position. So I think it's kind of a bit ironic that everything was fine prior to this, and now all of a sudden everything's being called into question.
Well, maybe we didn't know in the past, because some of the things that have been charges have been leveled about how they dealt with ballots and where they left ballots, and kind of sloppy
and overheating machines. And how about the fact that someone missed the deadline by 2 minutes because they didn't understand the website?
The website. Did you hear that? They had worked all that time, and then they go to put the results in on the website, and they didn't know how to work the website. Well,
it probably wouldn't have changed much, but you had one job.
One should have been some focus.
Job.
Yeah. Work some overtime. Get it done.
She did not resign because of this whole election fluff up, dust up. She, according to the Sun Sentinel, she expressed a desire to spend more time with her family. So that's the real reason she's resigning.
That's what everybody says.
But maybe a little bit of an insight into how she ran things. I don't know if maybe this is a cheap shot, but the Sun Sentinel in their article about Snipes said that the voicemail on Snipes' cell phone was full. So they weren't able to leave a voicemail to her to actually get an answer back from her. But, with all of this election, being a supervisor, you have to really be on top of things. And, when you submit the votes 2 minutes late, it falls on whoever didn't submit them, but it really falls on the supervisor.
Right. The buck stops with the supervisor.
And I guess something about having a full voicemail as a important figure like that, it just kind of sends a signal that maybe she's not on top of her game.
All right. Well, maybe that's just not her first priority. I will say, though,
it should be.
Yeah. counting votes probably was more.
Well, obviously that one was.
That's not nice. But she was a very accomplished woman, and I think it's important that we at least give her her just due. It says that after completing Westside High School, she entered the historical Talladega College, where she majored in modern foreign languages. She and her husband, Walter, moved to Broward County in 1964. To begin their careers as educators. She began her career in Broward County as a teacher at Blanche Eli High School. Before she retired from school district in 2003, she served as the area director, where she was responsible for leading principals at 16 schools and centers.
Okay.
I'm just putting that out there.
Didn't translate over into the ballot counting.
In 2003, then Republican Governor Jeb Bush appointed her as supervisor of elections, and once again, she's been reelected four times, most recently in 2016.
All right, so there's the she has gone into the annals of history, and we'll see who's next in that position. Also, I got two stories I got to get to before we wrap up today too. Number one, this is the strangest thing. Like, you know about do not resuscitate.
Yes, DNR.
Yes. But what if you do get resuscitated and then you sue for getting resuscitated?
Ooh, that's having your cake and eating it.
Listen, so this AP story said a New Mexico woman who was brought back to life is suing the hospital for violating her rights. The Albuquerque Journal lawyers for Jamie Sams filed a lawsuit this week in New Mexico State District Court against Santa Fe's Christus St. Vincent Regional Medical Center. Lawsuit filed on behalf of Sams, a writer known for books on spirituality, say the hospital and doctor who was treating her are to blame for her going into cardiac arrest. Lawsuit says Sams was given a painkiller even after she told the staff she was allergic to it. Court documents say the negligence was compounded when the hospital personnel resuscitated her, something she did not want.
I mean, it's
they have declined comment here on this lawsuit. The hospital is. She is seeking an unspecified amount in damages. So first of all, what would be the compensatory damages would be that somebody would just kill her, right? Take her back to what she wanted. But so this is complicated by the fact she's suing, number one, that they gave her a painkiller that made her go into cardiac arrest. And mm-hmm. I don't know the whole story beyond this, but I would guess that if that cardiac arrest led to her death, then they brought her back and she's suing because they brought her back. But is she suing because they gave her cardiac arrest and killed her?
Uh-huh.
But then you're suing because they brought you back, too. This is a strange... This is one of these stories not from around here that I am going to watch, because this one's interesting, just like the Monsanto case.
But if she has it, Sean, if she has it written out in her paperwork, if she has it that says, do not resuscitate me, then they're not following her wishes. I mean...
I know, but it's strange. The lawsuit filed on behalf of Sams says the hospital and doctor who was treating her are to blame for her going into cardiac arrest. So she's suing them mm-hmm. for giving her this painkiller that put her into cardiac arrest. At the same time, because the outfall with that was death, so she's suing them for bringing her back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you have to drop one of those?
She didn't want to be around.
Okay, but then can you then sue for the fact that they gave you a painkiller, at least what she's alleging? They gave her a painkiller that put her into cardiac arrest, mm-hmm. and she's suing for that. But that cardiac arrest killed her, and they resuscitated her from the cardiac arrest, and she's suing for that too. I mean, this is a head scratcher of a case to me.
Maybe one has to be tied to the other for it to make sense, though, because they would not have had to. There would be no DNR to respect if they wouldn't have killed her in the first place.
Right. So, do you get to sue on both of those? It's like a, I don't know. Do you sue on both fronts? All right, listen, we'll grab some calls when we get back at 343-0106. I'm going to put this story up on Twitter, just what is out there from it. It's on our news partners, WKRG's website as well. It's like it leaves me with questions. Do you sue for both things? And also, we'll get into some financial stuff. As Goldman Sachs believes the U.S. economy will slow to a crawl next year, would be the same Goldman Sachs. What did we bail? Yeah, $10 billion bailout back in 2008. That same Goldman Sachs that didn't see the crash coming.
Humbug.
Didn't see that crash coming. All right, coming right back.
Hey, thanks, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch. Hey, Mitch, you there?
Yeah, let's start it from the top.
Buddy, how
there
you doing, Dalton? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Mitch. I hope everything's going well over there at McConnell Automotive. I know we're in Thanksgiving week. That means Black Friday coming up on Friday. But right now, you can get on over to McConnell Automotive and enjoy a Black Friday sale right now.
Absolutely, buddy. And when we have a gaff like that, we know it's live radio, right?
That's right. So tell me more about this Black Friday sale.
Yeah, buddy, the real quick version is this, is Dalton, everything that we have got is on sale. And the Black Friday sale that normally happens on Black Friday, General Motors helped us start it early, and customers are loving it just because of the simplicity. So an example, Dalton, would be you can pick a 2018 Sierra and just get a discount that'll make it really like the price of a used 2017 truck, over $12,000 off the sticker price. And you know, like we've been saying, Dalton, this new 2019 truck is coming, so it kind of makes sense why we're giving these things away so cheap, and we just want everybody to take advantage of it. The Black Friday sale, literally every Buick, like the Enclave and the Encore, those things are just unbelievably cheap right now, and we don't want people to miss out, and you can get a better selection right now, because if you wait till actual Black Friday, you might, if you want a black or white or silver, they may be gone. So we're getting people to act fast and go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and check it out.
All right. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a great day.
Thanks, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right. So, any kind of gaffes and stuff were my responsibility. I was slack-jawed, though, a little bit there because I was looking at a piece of information to just hit my inbox. Guest of this show for years and years and years. Special assistant to the president, also part of the campaign team for President Trump. Interesting guy because he and I were some of the ones that were asking the questions. Donald Trump, was he truly conservative back then? Some of the people in Alabama that were, you know, questioning the bona fides of a Donald Trump for a Republican candidate. Guy then went and worked for that candidate, Cliff Sims.
Yeah.
Guy founded Yellowhammer. He has a book coming out January 29th.
Title?
And it says it is Team of Vipers, ooh, My 500 Extraordinary Days in the Trump White House. Cliff Sims, former special assistant to the president.
Who do you think is the number one viper in there?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to be trying to get him on as soon as possible. I just texted him a second ago, so we'll see if we can get that. But Cliff Sims, pretty inside look at the campaign and then transition and then into the Trump White House. And somebody we've talked to and have a relationship with, so it would be good to hear his take on it as well. So we'll get that coming up as soon as possible. All right, go to the phones, and let's go to John in Mobile. Hey, John.
Okay.
Hey, man.
I'm still shocked that the Democrats didn't steal the Florida Senate and governor election. I mean, when you got a woman like Brenda Snipes, they missed that deadline by 2 minutes because it would have added almost 800 votes to Rick Scott's tally. And the depressing thing about this election is what we're seeing is the liberals are moving all over the country. They live in California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, where their policies have ruined the places they were living in, and they're bringing their crap with them to Florida, to Texas, you know, to other places, and they're going to ruin the whole country. So,
you know, it's interesting when you look at it. Let's look at it at a small level. And I hear this from people on the Eastern Shore. You know, people, listen, I'm not saying they're speaking for everybody. You know, I believe individuals speak for themselves. But multiple individuals over time have told me, hey, you know, we welcome the growth in Fairhope, these people coming in, but they move here because they wanted to get away from big bureaucracy. You know, wherever they were coming from up north, they want to get away from big bureaucracy. And they come in here and then they go, okay, the way we used to do it, and they start wanting to put in extra. I'm not saying they're successful or whatever, but this is the feeling that they come in and try to change things back to the place they moved from in the first place versus when in Rome, embracing where they moved to.
I used to have a subcontractor that worked for me that had a big bumper sticker on the back of his truck. Said, we don't care how you did it up north.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you move here, and I think, you know, it's a fair thing to say in the fact that if you moved here because you like, you know, you want to get out of wherever it is, you moved here not to change it back like that. You moved here because you liked it, you know, enough to move here.
It wasn't like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the whole idea of, you know, oh, they're not right for me to date, but I'll change them. John, thanks for the call. All right, I want to read through a bunch of texts came in after this New Mexico DNR story. You know, this is,
yes.
Once again, I really think this is going to be one of these stories we'll be watching. National news, we'll be looking at it, just like I told you on that Monsanto case. I think this one, because there's, it's not cut and dry to me. All right, so first text here says, the DNR order will not stand. DNR only works for extraordinary efforts. All right.
What does that mean? If it's easy to resuscitate,
guess,
then the DNR is like not applicable?
I guess. And once again, I'm not speaking
relatively
from any, I'm just reading text. I'm not speaking from an expert opinion, but it's interesting, all these opinions. All right. Another texter says, maybe she wanted to die of natural causes or by her own hand.
Jeez.
And then on top of that, they resuscitated her. And if documented that she didn't want it, it would also be wrong. This one says, David says, $5 says the judge throws out the case. There's a bunch of people talking about a bunch of texts, but I want to jump to Terry's here, who says, unless she has a DNR order implied consent, implied consent applies and the last half of the suit is moot. Implied consent is a doctrine that says if a person is incapable of providing consent to treatment, that the reasonable person would want the treatment and the medical providers can proceed. So you would guess that in this situation, she goes into cardiac arrest, at least the allegation from the, and you read the story, I put it up on Twitter, the allegation from the plaintiff here, this Jamie Sams, says that they gave her some sort of painkiller in this process that put her into cardiac arrest, which killed her, and then they brought her back. They resuscitated her. She is suing for both the prescribing of the medicine that put her into cardiac arrest and for being resuscitated. That's the part, that little part is what has my brain tingling for, you know, can it be both? But so there's, you know, the argument here is she had a DNR, but, you know, maybe because I'm reaching here. This is not my forte here, but because the hospital is responsible in this allegation for killing her, that it could change, you know, because they killed her, they brought her back. It changes the nature of the do not resist.
Maybe before all of this, she didn't want to be alive, right?
Yeah.
And then she discovered, wait a minute, I can be alive and have a sweet payout. So now my life has taken on a whole
new... Wait a second.
New,
so if...
A whole new angle.
You're more cynical than I am this morning, Finley.
I mean...
You're saying that because she's now that she's alive...
Yeah,
she didn't want to be alive before, but now that she could be alive and be, you know, rich beyond her wildest dreams...
Money talks,
then,
and you know it. Money talks. I mean, we hate to have to be like this.
That she would have been, like, content with being dead, but now that there's a lot of money...
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, I ought to be alive.
I imagine this was quite a stressful situation once she went into cardiac arrest.
The most stressful,
and
yes.
I imagine in an emergency room where they go through things like this all the time, that they were probably working immediately to bring her back to life or to save her life. And I don't know if there's time there to decide whether she has a DNR or not.
Right.
Now, if she's sitting there in a coma for 12 days,
they've got
some time to look over their records and, you know, talk with family members.
Point.
But when this happens so quickly, I think the first rule in a hospital is generally keeping the person alive.
Do no harm. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's probably what happened. I would imagine that lawsuit for them giving her the painkiller, though, would stand, right?
So do they split that and say, okay, you can have this cardiac suit, but we're not going to take the DNR suit? Y'all, we'll watch this because this brings up some bigger questions out there.
And can I just say real fast or quickly, I don't want her to have to be like this, like if that's really the truth.
You
would hope that her point is, I put something in writing and you are to follow it. And so since you didn't follow it and these...
But
you
if
know,
you did the thing that caused the death...
Right. But
aren't you just taking it back to neutral with the...
But they may have to be connected to one another because she would have not needed a DNR to be respected and valued if they hadn't killed her in the first place.
I know. That's what complicates this. Okay, we'll talk about this. We get back from the break, but I want to give you all this. I just got from the text line. Eastbound Causeway lanes are closed just east of Ed's Seafood Shed. Maybe I wish they would open up early. You go in there. But semi-truck tried to turn around and got stuck in the ditch.
Mm.
All right. So, yes, just a word to the wise, whether you're driving an 18-wheeler or driving a Prius, don't get off the side of the, right. of the causeway because that ground's wet. Where Rose O'Kane grows, there's mud. Wreckers are on scene. This texture recommends taking I-10 for the next 30 minutes or so because they are working at getting the truck out of the ditch. Plus, they have slowed down on westbound traffic, but the eastbound causeway lanes are closed just east of Ed's. So that is going on right now. We'll get more info with traffic coming up in a couple minutes.
It may help that some people are on vacation, so maybe the traffic pattern was nil to sort of come.
My wild hooligans are out all week.
I know. Somebody's got to feed them, right?
That's right. At 852 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday in the countdown to Thanksgiving. Also, it brings you to the countdown to gift buying and Black Friday and moving forward to Christmas. And let me add this to the mix. Another great shave with Harry's this morning, something I've been telling y'all for years and years and years, because every holiday I talk about Harry's, but the rest of the year I shave with Harry's as well. Been part of the show for a long time. Another great opportunity for you to check out what I've been talking about or give the gift of Harry's to somebody, where they're long-lasting quality products, super reasonable prices. Heck, Harry's has a 4.5 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot. Their German-engineered blades are $2 each versus twice that, which you're paying in the grocery store or the pharmacy for blades. Plus, right now, you've got ready-to-gift sets that come in a handsome gift box. In other words, y'all, one less thing you have to wrap. Gift sets starting also just at as low as $10. Get that 100% quality guarantee. If he does not love the gift of Harry's, returns are quick and hassle-free. And also, Harry's stepping it up. Special offer for y'all. We've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including the limited edition holiday set, when you go to harrys.com and enter our code MOBILE at checkout. So use that code MOBILE at checkout to save the money. Plus, you'll get free shipping. The offer is for new and returning customers, and it's only available for the holidays. Each Harry's shaving set comes with an ergonomic weighted handle, and those are fantastic. And what's great about the gift set, you can get it engraved. Put a little personalization in it. Also, German-engineered fine-blade cartridge that provides that close, comfortable shave. You'll get their foaming shave gel for a rich lather. Use that this morning. Smells great. A travel cover to protect your blades, and a handsome holiday gift box. And if you're there and you want something for yourself, that's fine. That's okay. I'm not going to judge. Redeem a Harry's trial offer to experience the quality of shaving before you commit. Get your holiday shopping done early, y'all. Free shipping ends on December 12th, so you need to act now. Go to harrys.com and enter the code MOBILE to get $5 off any shave set while supplies last. It's harrys.com. Make sure to use our code MOBILE. All right, 854. We'll grab some calls and texts at 343-0106.
Yeah, and let's head over to talk with David in Mobile. He wants to talk about that lawsuit we've been discussing and also the Florida Senate race.
Hey, David.
Hey, Sean, Dalton, Kelly.
Hi,
I think the chances of both parts of that lawsuit moving forward are pretty good, and here's why. The hospital is probably charging her or her insurance company for both the treatment that put her into cardiac arrest and the treatment to bring her back to life. So the lawyers, her lawyers, have to have a reason to sue the hospital for the money they're charging her to bring her back to life, and the DNR is the reason that they're using.
Okay, well, go back, because I'm slow. So break that down for me again.
Okay, whatever she went into the hospital for originally, they gave her the pain medicine that put her into cardiac arrest. They're probably charging her or her insurance company for that treatment.
Okay.
They're probably also charging her and her insurance company for the treatment to bring her back to life.
Okay.
Well, if you sue somebody to recover those damages for those treatments, because that's treatment that the hospital should have to eat, because they're the ones that are responsible for those for giving her those treatments.
Well, those would be the least cost. Those would be the least issue if you're looking through the what it could cost this hospital. Those would be the cheapest things, right?
But like I said, they're probably charging her or her insurance company to get that. To sue for the damage, to recover those damages, you have to have a reason to recover, you know, to sue for that. And that is probably, they're probably using the DNR as the reason for that.
So can you have both? Can you do both? Can you? I mean, you know, that question I was asking, and somebody well put said it was a Solomon-esque choice. Nice Bible reference. Can you sue for being given the pill that gave you cardiac arrest, the painkiller, and also for the DNR? Isn't it one or the other?
Common sense would say yes, but we are talking about the law here.
Yeah, that's right.
And sometimes common sense doesn't play into a lawsuit.
You're right. All right, I appreciate the call, David. You want to talk state senate, Florida? Did we lose him? Got him. All right. We're going to run out of time anyway. I do want to add this, into, as we mentioned, Senate, and we'll talk about this coming up later on in the midday show. Jeff Poore has a story over at yellowhammernews.com, which all kind of ties together because that's Cliff Sims' old product and Cliff Sims' book. By the way, I tweeted out that story about Cliff Sims' book, and we do have a confirmation. Cliff Sims will be on the show when the book comes out. He said he'll be here with bells on, so we'll see. It's been tough to get him, now that he's big shot up in Washington. But Jeff Poore's story from Yellowhammer says State Auditor Jim Ziegler, local, Southwest Alabama resident, Jim Ziegler, considering a 2020 U.S. Senate run. The names mentioned among the prospective Republican candidates for U.S. Senate in 2020, State Auditor Jim Ziegler has not generally been part of the conversation. However, in an interview that aired Friday on Alabama Public Television's Capital Journal, Ziegler said that he had been approached about running for the seat presently held by Senator Doug Jones. Ziegler said he would have to make a decision later as to whether or not he will launch his exploratory campaign. He said, "My number one priority is, of course, to do the job as state auditor, and I've been working on that all day, even today," Ziegler said. "It's flattering, and I'm considering these comments that people are making and praying about it, but it's too early. I'll make a decision sometime later as to whether or not it's called an exploratory campaign." So there you go. Ziegler, maybe another name in the 2020 Senate mix. Right, we're out of here?
We're out of here.
All right, start throwing those turkeys. And we'll be back tomorrow morning for Mobile Mornings. I'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. And sports night tonight. Y'all are on the road.
Yeah, we'll be at Jersey Mike's Subs in Malvis talking Iron Bowl.
Yeah, there's that football game coming up. That's for sure. All right, Laura Ingraham Show on the way next.